All right, so happy first Sunday after the World Cup. I've done this for like the last month. I've got to keep it going for just one more week. Welcome. My name's Ryan. I work here with Laura and Lindsay. I feel like we should give a round of applause to Laura, who doesn't get enough credit for like keeping this place going. All right, so we're finishing up our sermon series on parables this morning. One of the things that has astounded me and continues to astound me about parables is that Jesus did not try to make Christianity easier to consume. Yes, he like gave these images that people were familiar with, but he often left them more confused, right, than when they started. And I guess I'm struck by that because I'm struck by the ways that we almost do the opposite, right? We want to make Christianity, God, all of the above, easy to understand, easy to apprehend and consume. So just as an experiment this week, I threw up on my Instagram page, you know, just a question, what is the worst sermon series you have ever heard? So you can throw that up. And sorry, I should have, someone said trigger warning when you have Kenneth Copeland's face up there. But so here's just some of the answers I got. You might be surprised with some of them, might not. My favorite was a mentee of mine wrote that she was subjected to a 15-year sermon series on revivals. Like, I don't even know what that would be. But anyway, I say this because just how different sometimes our preaching is. And as kind of an addendum to this, I pulled up Google Images, and I just typed in sermon series. And I began to look through just various sermon series throughout the world. All right, so here's some of them. Life hacks, when you just need a better way. And I'm struck by this one because when did Jesus ever offer life hacks? I mean, I guess if picking up your cross and following me is a life hack, I don't know. All right, here's one for your meth addiction. Breaking bad habits, cycles, and patterns. relation tips, right? How clever. Again, just so interesting to me because I hope their first sermon was, you cannot be my follower unless you hate your mother and father. good advice for a relationship. Jesus said that, by the way. All right, here's my favorite one that I saw. This one's called Naked Marriage, Exposing the Myth and Miracle of Marriage. And I'm just like, what is the goal here? I'm just so confused. Why are there oranges? Anyway, Soren Kierkegaard, one of my favorite philosophers, once compared Christianity to a beer salesman. But a beer salesman who sells the beer at a lower price than it costs to produce. So he's like, yeah, you sell a lot of beer, but you end up going bankrupt. And he compared that to how the church operates today. And I get it, right? We are, generally speaking, oftentimes disappointed people, and we want good news. But sometimes Jesus spoke to disappointed people, and then he disappointed them even more. Told them hard news. And I think this is the way that Jesus preached with parables. He told them stories that left them often confused. He would say things like, the kingdom of heaven is like, fill in the blank. And we'd think he'd fill in the blank with something holy and pious. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman kneeling in prayer. The kingdom of heaven is like a man in the temple offering sacrifices. But that's not what he did. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who goes out into the field, throwing seeds everywhere. On the good soil, the bad soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, as if he's worried there's a spot that does not get some seed. Kingdom of heaven is like a garden where there's wheat and weeds growing together, but the gardener does not have the good sense to pull up the weeds. What is that about? And it's almost like Jesus is trying to confuse the people, or at least open up their imagination to look at the world a little bit differently. So Jesus, in this passage, has already given the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and weeds. And then he ends with this string of like analogies. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. My favorite one. And what does he mean by this? The kingdom of heaven is so small, so seemingly insignificant, that if you were to drop it, you may never find it again. Is he saying the kingdom of heaven is so small, like a mustard seed? It takes 750 mustard seeds to equal 1 gram. Is he saying it's insignificant? It's like an odd description for a God who we want to be mighty and omnipotent. I mean, God, we put God's name on our money. We put God's name in our courthouses. We build God the finest cathedrals. But God says, my omnipotent kingdom is like a mustard seed. If you were to name your kingdom, like have an analogy for your kingdom, what would you say? I mean, the kingdom of Rome says we are like an eagle flying at high speeds, latching our talons into our prey. God says, my kingdom's like a mustard seed. I mean, it's kind of like this existential question, isn't it? I mean, if God's kingdom is like a mustard seed, then what does that mean for me? What does that mean for the difference God can make in our world? What does Jesus mean by this parable? So I thought about this. It's kind of amazing when you think about seeds, isn't it, though? You think about the life of a seed. You put these small, insignificant things in the ground, surrounded by darkness. There is no air to breathe. There is no light that is penetrating into the darkness. And if the dirt is any good, then it's called compost. Compost is like, what, a fancy word for manure? And that's where the seed takes root, in the darkness, in the manure of the world. I mean, isn't that where God always seems to work? You put the seed in a world that is entrenched with violence and loneliness and division. You put the seed in the heart of the meek and the mourners and the poor. I mean, maybe first of all, what Jesus is saying is that God is in the dirt of the world, that God is in the manure. That you want to look for God where there is the most power. But God says, try looking a little lower. What does Jesus mean by this parable? I had this memory this week when I read the scripture that my mom used to wear this mustard seed necklace, right? Just a little locket with a mustard seed in the middle. So I called her this week and I said, do you still have that mustard seed necklace? And she responded, she almost threw it away, but she took it to Goodwill or something, right? But then she thought to herself, how do you throw away the hope of a mustard seed? And I just love that, right? Because isn't that what a seed is? Like a seed is a promise that something new can grow, that a seed is never merely what you see, but it always carries this hidden future inside of it. Because what happens to seeds? If you care for them, if you water them, the light penetrates the darkness, it begins to grow. Sometimes you don't have to do anything. You can just throw it out into the yard, and miracle of miracles, even in the worst circumstances, something can bloom. It's this promise. Is that what Jesus is saying? The kingdom of God is a promise? A seed? Something new will bloom in your life? One of my favorite quotes by Martin Luther. Look, Martin Luther, we say he said a bunch of things, but he probably said none of them. But one of the things we say that Martin Luther said is this, that someone once asked him, what would you do if the world ended tomorrow? And for you, what would you do? Would you like eat the nicest meal of your life? Would you go out with your loved ones? Would you go on that adventure you always wanted to go on? Martin Luther said, purportedly, I would plant a tree. And it's like, why would you plant a tree if the world is going to end tomorrow? But it speaks to that irrational belief that Christians should maybe have, that the worst thing is never the last thing, that you could be on the verge of a nuclear apocalypse. You could be weeping at the graveside of your best friend. Your world is crashing down, and yet you still go out into the garden tossing seeds, because there's always something more. The kingdom of God is like a promise. It's a seed. And what does Jesus mean by this parable? I think Jesus tends to think it means that a small thing can become a big thing. Like a little seed in the ground can become a towering tree. That God's kingdom is like that. That the smallest, most insignificant things actually turn out to be the most significant things. That we are called to be a mustard seed people, small and insignificant, but who act in the world with these acts of mustard seed love. Just remind of Mother Teresa, maybe her most famous quote, as she was working with lepers in Calcutta. She said, I don't do great things. I do small things with great love. Mustard seed, right? And I think that's how Jesus lived his life most of the time, right? It wasn't these big, flashy things. It was these ordinary, simple acts, loving the person in front of him. And he calls us to do the same, right? Do you know someone who's hungry? You should just feed them. Do you know someone who's naked? You should give them clothes. Do you know someone who's sick? Why don't you pay them a visit? And it feels like, you know, these small acts make no difference in the world. But look at the life of Jesus. You know, after a long day, year, decade, whatever, something new blooms from the ground. There is new life. Mother Teresa would say, it feels like a drop in the ocean, doesn't it? Helping others. But she said that ocean would be less if that drop was missing. Kingdom of God, where the smallest things have the biggest impact. Jesus says you have this small seed, and this is where I love this, the parable, but he says when it grows, it becomes into the largest of garden plants, he says, which is, if I can say this generously, like not true. The mustard seed tree was not like the largest of plants. I mean, put the picture up, I mean, it's fine, right? But it's not like a towering redwood, it's not like a sprawling oak tree or even a huge fruit tree. It's like a tree, right? It might have one nest of birds. But this is what Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. Ezekiel said, when he talked about the kingdom of God, he said it would be a towering cedar, which is about as large of a tree as they knew of. Jesus says, no, it's a mustard shrub. And for the original hearers, I mean, where it gets even more interesting, right, is sometimes they thought of this plant as a weed, like an invasive weed, like a weed that kind of just spread and took over. The kingdom of heaven is like kudzu, right? It's a nuisance. It begins to take over and spread regardless of our attempts to control it. It just moves. And sometimes I'm like, that feels right to me. When I think about my own life, I think about my childhood. And did I have any dream that I would spend like over half of my life working in churches? No, not at all. But then the kingdom of God is like planted in me. And then it begins to take over. And it takes over my life and my dreams and my wishes and my desires. And sometimes I'm like, can I have my garden back? And God says, no. I mean, this is what my love is like, right? It's like a mustard shrub. It takes over the world, transforms it. The kingdom of heaven is like a weed. It's beautiful. What does Jesus mean by this parable? Why a mustard seed? I thought about this, and maybe the real reason why this mustard seed image is so beautiful is because it captures who Jesus is. That when God wanted to reveal God's self to the world, when God lifted the veil, God did not come down like a soldier to conquer, did not come down like a towering cedar. God came down like a humble seed, born in the darkness of the world, born in a feeding trough in Bethlehem, planted in the darkness, totally vulnerable. And God said, this is me, humble. But the seed was a promise, right? A promise for millions of people to see something new, that new life could be possible, that there's more to this life than we can imagine. How do you destroy the hope of a seed? But the seeds do not become trees by remaining safe, right? They must disappear. They must be buried into the darkness, where to every eye they seem lost forever. Do you remember that passage where Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a seed falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He's talking about himself, right? God lifted up on the cross, pushed into the darkness of a tomb. 3 days later, something new begins to grow. That in the resurrection, there is room for all in the tree that Jesus is building for us. And since then, the kingdom of heaven has been growing, spreading uncontrollably like a weed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And the kingdom continues to spread, right? Whenever there is an enemy that is forgiven, whenever there is a cup of water that is handed out, whenever there is a prayer that is whispered in secret, whenever there is a lonely person who is welcomed, whenever there is an act of mercy, wherever there is a hidden act of kindness, every small obedience, and it never looks like much, but the kingdom of God continues to spread. And it will until the whole garden belongs to God. For the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Thanks be to God. Amen.